broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett. This is Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services.
Hello and welcome to Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services. I'm Randy Hicks, and Dennis Bonin, my co-host, is traveling out of town on business, so you may hear from our outstanding producer, Mike Salmon, chiming in from time to time. Mike, greetings.
Hey, I appreciate the outstanding word in there in the introduction. Looking forward to a great 4th of July week, barbecue and seeing family and enjoying some fireworks somewhere.
Well, speaking of fireworks, remember, too, that our friends at the Tilted Kilt location at the Mall of Georgia will be open this July 4th, serving some great food and drink specials, along with providing a great location to see the fireworks at the Mall of Georgia later in the evening. You know, I know this is usually the time we discuss sports, but this is a very special week for us with Independence Day on Thursday. This 4th of July, we might find ourselves barbecuing, congregating with loved ones, and enjoying our precious time, free time together. But Independence Day is also a time to step back, take stock, and appreciate the deep freedoms we enjoy every day. As such, I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of our brave men and women who are currently serving or have served in the military, both domestically and in all theaters around the world, for their service, dedication, and sacrifice. You certainly all know freedom just isn't free. Freedom isn't free because soldiers every day in our armed forces give their lives so that we can live ours. I'm proud to have a father-in-law who stormed the beaches and was part of the Normandy invasion in World War I. I'm also extremely proud to have a father that served for more than 28 years and retired as a major in the U.S. Army. We can all look forward to celebrating this Independence Day, the birth of our great land, and the freedom that it brings. Thanks to the military men and women who have made it so wonderful for all of us. And now, on with the show. Partners for Success is a show that highlights and promotes many of Atlanta's outstanding businesses and business leaders. Let me introduce our guests for today's show. Joining us is A.J. Smith with the Aspire Group. A.J. is the manager of the Georgia Tech Fan Relationship Management Center. Also, we have with us Kate Skirmerhorn, Business Development Manager at Eagle Carpet Restoration, and David Ford, President of Food Truck South. Let's get started with our first interview and our first guest, A.J. Smith with the Aspire Group. Welcome to the show today, A.J.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about the Aspire Group and what services you provide.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks. You know, we are a global sport marketing firm that was started in 2008. Strictly as a consulting firm by Bernie Mullen, who's the former CEO and president of the Atlanta Hawks, the Astros, and Phillips Arena, with his business associate, Bill Duffy. And, you know, really, you know, we've grown from a consulting firm now to the global outsource leader and outsource sport ticketing sales. And, you know, we've got really three main revenue buckets with our fan relationship management centers and revenue enhancement, our strategic marketing and consulting, and an asset acquisition.
Well, you mentioned the Fan Relationship Management Center.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Is that really a unique aspect of the Aspire philosophy?
No doubt about it. You know, I think a lot, you know, at times in, you know, college and the professional world, you know, the fan kind of gets forgotten about. And, you know, when we go on site to a college professional property and we sell for them, you know, it's not just traditional, you know, inside sales center where, you know, they're busting 100 calls through a phone book, you know. No, that's not how we operate, okay? You know, are we selling them? Yes, but, you know, we're sales consultants and we want to get to know the customer first, okay? And then based on getting to know the customer, you know, we'll then take what they tell us and the relationship that we form with them and then offer them the best solution. You know, we firmly believe in building, you know, relationships for a lifetime. And it starts with a consultative sales approach. And, you know, we dedicate our times to building those fans and retain those fans for our properties.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Aspire was recently also named the 9th fastest growing company in Atlanta. How and really why has your company managed to grow so quickly?
Yeah, that's, you know, that was a tremendous honor from the company, you know, especially, you know, from, you know, my perspective and where I saw Aspire just 4 years ago. You know, I started with the Aspire Group in 2009, and, you know, our only property was on the fan relationship side was Georgia Tech. And I think I was employee number, you know, 9 or 10 at that time. And now we've got over 200, probably 250 employees right now. And, you know, we've shown tremendous growth, you know, through that. And it starts with the top, with our CEO, Bernie Mullen. You know, the vision that he's had for the Aspire Group and the people that he's brought on, and really our core values and focus has led us to, you know, tremendous growth. And we're number 9 right now, but, you know, who knows where we'll be the next 4 years. It's been unbelievable.
Well, within the sports industry, and in particular to selling tickets, is it more important to acquire new fans or to keep the fans that you already have?
Oh, the most important thing is to retain. And you want to retain the fans that you've got in your stadium first and foremost. It gets lost. You know, everybody's worried about getting new people in. Well, what are you doing right now for the people that are in your stadium? And you lose them. You know. Number one example for me growing up, you know, I grew up in Tampa, Florida, and the Buccaneers got a brand new stadium in '98, and they were full season sellouts from '98 through about 2008. And you know, did they have tremendous success during the early part of those years? Yeah, you know, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, John Lynch, we won a Super Bowl, John Gruden. However, then the success started to tally, and the Bucs had a wait list over 100,000 people. I remember going down high school. My high school was, you know, two blocks from Raymond James Stadium and had a big old billboard that said, Buccaneer season ticket wait list, you know, 150,000 people. You know, each month it would grow and grow and grow. Well, team success started to decline. The Buccaneers didn't place resources on the people that were inside the stadium. Just said, well, you know, we'll just fill their seat. Well, eventually that season ticket wait list ran out, and now the Bucs have blackouts. It's unbelievable. Now they're, you know, trying to, you know, revamp, and they'll come back. They've got great people down in Tampa, and, you know, they got the right people in there to do the job. But, you know, you've got to focus first on who's inside your stadium, because if you lose them, those are your most dedicated fans to begin with.
That's a great thought. And I think that the innovation, of course, that Georgia Tech has shown, the Aspire Group is showing us some of those great ways and really leading the pack. In the last 4 years, you talked a little bit about the growth that you've had in the Aspire Group. Could you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, me personally or at Georgia Tech as a whole?
Well, let's do both.
Okay. I got my start, and, you know, I played football at Georgia Tech. Once I graduated, like a lot of student athletes, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you spent, you know, your entire life doing this, so, you know, let's give the pro thing a shot. So I gave the pro thing a shot. You know, that didn't work out. And, you know, I was lucky enough, through one of my friends, I got a text message that said, hey, the Falcons are hiring. I was like, what are they hiring for? I don't know. You know, sales and management trainee program. Okay, well, I'll throw my name in the hat, show up a group interview, you know, got the job, and, you know, had no clue, you know, coming out with a business degree at Georgia Tech, really the sales angle. You know, it was really at Georgia Tech more consulting focused and with an engineering kind of scope to it. So I started there and started off really slow. I wasn't sure if, you know, this was something I wanted to do. But, you know, I gave a commitment to the Falcons that I was going to do this. So I really put my best foot forward and, you know, worked as hard as I could and became really good at it. I went from a guy who was in the bottom of the board of sales to the end of that six-month program being, you know, kind of the top of the board, number one or number two, how it ended. And then a lot of times in pro sales, when you come in with these entry-level positions, you're 6 months or 8 months, and then, hey, that's it. You're done. Go find another job. There's not a lot of career growth opportunities within professional sports teams. It's just the way it is. At that point, I was lucky enough to get connected with Bill Fagan, who's now the GM and, you know, vice president of our company. But at that time, he was overseeing the first, you know, property that we had, which was Georgia Tech. And, you know, so late summer 2009, came in there as a part-time sales rep. And in 15 months, I went from part-time sales rep, full-time senior sales, to then manager at Georgia Tech. I've been managing there for, you know, it's almost 2.5 years now at Georgia Tech, been managing my own sales staff. But, you know, during that time, we went from strictly, you know, outbound sales for football and basketball. And over the four-year scope, you know, we've added in premium sales. So we can now sell the most luxurious suite in the entire stadium, club seats, you name it, for football and basketball. We've added renewal aspects as well. And you're starting off day one, we didn't have that. You know, we talked about, you know, a couple questions ago, what's the most important part? Retaining. Well, you know, colleges, for the most part, you know, their only contact with fans is when they get that renewal letter, hey, you owe me $500, you know, by this date. but nobody's reaching out to them, giving them a personal touch. You know, the best practice is you've got year-round dedicated service renewal reps who, you know, are maintaining these relationships throughout the year. So when it comes renewal time, it's like, oh, well, hey, they just want my money. No, it's a personal touch, especially today's day and age. And, you know, we're moving that way at Georgia Tech, which has been a big plus. But more importantly, you know, with the change in scope at Georgia Tech, you know, we've grown tremendously and made big strides, and, you know, big things coming for us in the future as well.
Well, do you think that fan management and relationship management is really kind of the niche that separates the Aspire Group from other sports marketing companies?
Yeah, it really does. I think the biggest thing that kind of separates us, and it goes back to, is the people. You know, I hinted at previously with, you know, the way, you know, professional teams run their 6 to 8 month programs. Well, you know, we've got a 3-year management development program called the Raise Your Game program, is what I came up through. Okay. And, you know, yeah, you know, you're selling, you know, 8-9 hours a day. But what else are you giving to your employees? What else are you giving to your top performers? So what we do is, you know, we've got a series of presentations, you know, 24 to be exact, where, you know, it's basically, you know, your sport business MBA. And we'll do a session each month where, you know, either Bernie, Bill, or myself, you know, will guide a presentation on some of the hot topics in the sports industry. It's just not based on sales. You know, it's everything from the sports business money tree to, you know, financials. The corporate sponsorships, to motivation and values, to what it takes to be a leader, to the Disney model, so that when a sales consultant, you know, is selling and growing with the company, they're not only getting that aspect, but they're also getting a leadership focus as well. Because when I go out to career fairs and recruiting, you know, I'm not looking to hire a sales consultant, Randy. I'm looking to hire, you know, a future star with Aspire, the next manager for one of our newest clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Well, you've talked about a lot of the services that the Fan Relationship Management Center provides at Georgia Tech.
Right.
Could you expand a little bit more on some of the other services that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, we've done a few things as far as, you know, our corporate staff really helping out to push the sales angle. Our manager for strategic consulting research, Michael Ferris, just completed a new alumni survey, really focusing. We came out with a new offer last year. To, as Georgia Tech did for our recent grads, to 3 years out, offering them a, you know, special discount season ticket. And, you know, Michael really took that data and those names and contact information and really analyzed, you know, what did they like? You know, what didn't they like? What do they want done better? Where can we improve? Where do we miss? Not only as Aspire, but as Georgia Tech as a whole, because, you know, yeah, you know, we've got, you know, we're Aspire employees, but everything we say, do, where, we represent the Georgia Institute of Technology, and that's first and foremost. You know, we want to do whatever is best for our client partner, Georgia Tech. So, you know, we took all this great information, we took it back to Georgia Tech, and now we're looking at how to implement, because, you know, you've got fans in the stands who, you know, will be around, you know, for 15, 20 more years maybe, but, you know, you've really got to focus on capturing the new alumni and getting them hooked in now and really building those fans for a lifetime as well. That's one thing. We've done yield management studies as well, really looking at, you know, how the pricing's done in the stadium. You know, how can we more effectively price the stadium? You know, a lot of times with college and pro teams, they'll take a big dart board, take a bunch of darts, and just kind of throw it out there with no background and no strategy behind it as far as pricing goes. The same thing with packages and offerings, and especially how you attack the community. You know, that's one of the biggest things. Tim's plan, you know, ticket marketing, sales and service plans as well, which kind of fully encompasses everything. But yeah, we're just not, you know, picking up phones and calling. There's a lot that we can offer that we still haven't done.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about Georgia Tech football.
Let's do it.
So what have you, what do you see for this fall?
You know, I'm really encouraged. You know, there's kind of an underlying excitement to the team, I feel like, and, you know, me personally, you know, I played at Georgia Tech from 2004 through 2008. I came in with a guy in my recruiting class named Calvin Johnson. You may know who he is. And really, I've kind of seen, you know, the highs, you know, through the Gailey years when I was there. Then my senior year, I played for Coach Johnson. And this kind of feels, you know, kind of eerily similar to, you know, Coach Johnson's first year. You know, it was kind of a quiet optimism, it seems like, around the athletic association. And we've got a new quarterback this year, whether it's Vadley or Justin Thomas. But, you know, going out to spring practice and watching those guys, I mean, it's they're going to bring a different dynamic that this offense and coach hasn't had before. And, you know, he's surrounded by playmakers. You know, I'm really excited about the defense. Coach Ted Roof's the defensive coordinator for the Jackets. Ted was the middle linebacker, captain of the black watch defense back in the mid-'80s for Georgia Tech. So bringing one Tech's own back. And I remember being in high school in Tampa, and Coach Roof was actually the head coach at Duke at that time. And, you know, he recruited me at Duke. But, you know, it's great to see him back at Tech. And, you know, he's bringing a fire and a passion to that defense. And, you know, switching back to, I think, a more traditional 4-3, you know, compared to, you know, Al Groh's 3-4 last year, which seems to be more beneficial for the defense, and had those guys fly around and make plays. And, you know, it sets up to be a special year. You know, we got a strong home schedule this year at Georgia Tech. You know, we've got Thursday night against Virginia Tech in September. We end the year with our traditional rival. Well, I won't mention those guys' names, but they're to the northeast a little bit. But, you know, we've got, you know, newcomers Pittsburgh and Syracuse coming in as well. You know, in fact, we actually welcomed Pittsburgh and Syracuse and Notre Dame to the ACC yesterday. July 1st, they became official members. We had a special ticket promotion yesterday, one day only, $15 tickets for the Pitt and Syracuse games. And, you know, we sold, I think, 5,500. So that's a tremendous response. And that's our, you know, really our first, you know, our biggest, you know, single day, single game sales that we've had in a few years. So, you know, a lot of momentum going, a lot of excitement. It's going to continue to build as we get closer. And camp starts less than a month now.
Well, after having a daughter that just graduated recently from Georgia Tech, one of the best things is always coming out on the field and seeing the players hit the field. It just sends a chill up your spine.
There's nothing like it, Randy. You know, a lot of our selling at Georgia Tech is we give face-to-face appointments. We bring the fans down, and, you know, we really want to show them the experience. And what we'll do is, you know, these appointments is, you know, we'll take the fans through the tunnel where the rec comes out, and we'll run the fans on the field. And for a lot of these George Tech fans, it's a once in a, you know, lifetime opportunity for them to do that. And I mean, I know I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. You know, I get the question all the time: what do you miss from your playing days? Well, there's nothing like Saturdays. And when you're in the locker room, and our locker room's right underneath the student section, and you can hear the students bouncing up to that Zombie Nation song that they play. And then you come out, and, you know, the metal bleachers are rattling, the stadium shaking, and then especially a big night game or a big game, there's nothing like it at Grant Field. You know, it's a special place.
Terrific.
Yep.
Terrific. Well, AJ, we really want to thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
And we're glad that you could be here, and we're looking forward to a great season of Georgia Tech football and basketball, for that matter.
That's right. That's right. Huge basketball opportunity this year. Can't wait.
Our next guest on Partners for Success is Kate Skirmerhorn, Business Development Manager at Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration. Thanks for being here, Kate.
Thanks for having me on the show, Randy.
And tell us a little bit about your business and what do you do?
Well, Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration is a multifaceted company that focuses on a lot of cleaning opportunities. We are cleaning carpet and residential and commercial. We clean any kind of flooring surface. We clean hardwood floors. We can clean tile and grout. We can clean linoleum floors. We do strip and wax VCT floors like you find in commercial doctor's offices, daycare centers. But we also do air duct cleaning and upholstery cleaning. And in addition, we have a whole restoration division that handles water remediations, mold remediations, fire hazard, fire cleanups, biohazard cleanups. So it's pretty multifaceted. It's a family-owned and operated company based in Gainesville. But we cover the area from Atlanta all the way over to Athens and all points north.
Wow, large coverage area. Well, you talked about VCT floors. Why don't you tell some of our listeners what that is?
VCT is a vinyl composite tile. It's the kind of floors that you find often in daycare centers and doctor's offices. It's the real shiny floors that you see. Mm-hmm. Hospitals have the VCT, and typically there's a wax surface on the top, and that gets dulled out. Just from people walking on it, scuffing, moving furniture and things around. And over the course of time, it collects, those scuffs will collect dirt. And so we go in and we will strip off the wax down to the base tile and apply wax coats, usually 3 to 5 coats, depending on how shiny customer wants to get that done. And we do a buff coat on that and bring it back to shine. Because in doctor's offices, you want to have something clean. We see that a lot of times in veterinary offices as well, especially dirty.
And really, what's the difference between the type of cleaning that you do and a zero res or a Kim Dry or other types of cleaning, citrus solutions?
I love that question. I get that question all the time. We use in our carpet cleaning side of our business, we use a truck-mounted hot water extraction, which typically most people will call a steam clean. Steam clean is kind of a little bit of a misnomer because it's not actually cleaned with steam. It's actually cleaned with the hot water. This is the steam that comes off the hot water, why people say it's a steam clean. But it's a hot water extraction, and it is a truck-mounted machine. There's a lot of different types of carpet cleaning out there. There's portable machines. There's dry cam machines, whatnot. The Zero Reses of the world, the Stanley Steamers of the world, all use what's called a truck-mounted hot water extraction. And that is the only method of carpet cleaning that the carpet manufacturers recommend to clean the carpet. It pulls a suction, just like your vacuum cleaner, and that's the direction the carpet is intended to go. And what that does is it brings hot water into the carpet, cleans it, and then sucks it back out. So the only thing that comes into somebody's home or business is the water hose in and the suction hose out. The difference between us and, as you said, a Zero Res type company, Zero Res is famous for saying we don't leave any residues, zero residues. Well, part of that problem is because they don't use any kind of detergents, proper cleaning solutions, to get the dirt out of the carpet. They're just simply rinsing the carpet. Now, the way I can usually explain that to most people is you don't just rinse your dishes in the hot water in your sink. You don't just throw your clothes in the washer with no detergent. You don't just stand in the shower to get clean. You have to use a proper cleaning solution to break the dirt up. Now, you can get what will look like a level of clean off your dishes with a really hot water rinse, but I'm not going to eat off of it. I'm just saying. So we use a proper, it's a, everything's biohazard friendly. It's green friendly, dog friendly, kid friendly, whatever else is licking your carpet friendly solution that's going to simply break down the dirt off the carpet fiber. Sometimes you got to use a little Dawn in your dish soap to break the dirt, the grease down, same thing. And so we use that combined with, depending on what else might be in the carpet, if there's some paint and oil, grease stains, we have a different solution that would go in with that. Those things are worked into the carpet and simply extracted out. We don't leave any residues either because we use a very low pH rinse that pulls everything out of the carpet. And then we use dry passes over so we're not leaving the carpet soaked. And when we're done, the carpet should feel fairly dry to touch when it's done right.
Okay. So you don't have to wait a certain amount of time after it's over for it to be fully dry? Generally,
we say 4 to 6 hours to be dry. There's a lot of variables with carpet. It depends on the type of carpet. If you've got Berber carpet, if you've got the Frege, which is a real thick carpet, versus just a general cut pile. It also depends on the air circulation in your home. You got that one room that's always hot in the summer and always cold in the winter. You've got real poor air circulation going to the house. Well, guess what? When we clean carpet, that's going to be the last room that's going to get dry because the air that's circulating through the house is not going to get there to run. You may run an extra fan or something in that particular space. But it's generally you could be able to walk on the carpet within a couple of hours. Within 24, it should be completely dry if it's done right. Generally, when people say, well, I get my carpets clean and it looks dirtier afterwards, I hear that a lot too. And a lot of times what's happening there is people are cheapening the carpet cleaning process. Either they are taking the water temperature down a little bit because that saves them some money, so they're not getting as hot water extraction out because, as we know, steam in the hot water evaporates quicker. So that's gonna take some of that out. But in addition, if you're not sucking everything out of the carpet, you're leaving some residues in behind. Or if we don't know what's in the carpet, a lot of times people fail to mention that there was a dog that used to be there a year ago. And so there's pet and dog danders and things that we need to know the right solution to break those things down. So a lot of times when people fail to let us know what's in the carpet, we're not getting all the right solutions to get it cleaned. Carpet dries from the bottom up. So as carpet dries, things that may be stuck down at the bottom of the carpet just going to rise to the surface. So we kind of need to know what's been in the carpet. What's is it just dirt or is it dog issues? There's a lot of different things that we need to know to get those things clean.
Well, that's one of the things that everybody has an opinion on is cleaning spills and stains on carpets. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend for that?
Great question. There are couple very simple steps. The first thing we always say when anything spills, whether it's a liquid or an oil-based or something, you want to blot the stain first. Don't ever use a rubbing motion. Just blot the stain up as quick as you can get it. The second thing you want to do is just use water. Often a hot water rag will get more of the stain up than you think. People want to try to put all kinds of different solutions on it. And really, a lot of hot water will do most of the trick. If it's something like a red wine stain, something that's going to create a stain, red, pasta sauce, red wine or something, little club soda, bubbles it right up just like peroxide does on a cut on your skin. So you simply blot it, hot water, little peroxide, peroxide type solution with the club soda, or a professional spot remover. If those four things don't get a stain up, then you need to get the extraction from a hot water extraction to come up. A lot of times people just think that, oh, there's nothing else I can do, or they scrub it, or they go and they rent the rug doctor, and then they use too much soap, and they leave the carpet soaking wet. Really, you call a professional to come get a stain out. If you've tried everything you can do within 48 hours, most professional carpet cleaning companies, Eagle included, can get most stains out within 48 hours and keep it damp. And if between the time when you call, say there's like a day or something, just keep it damp, not soaking wet. We had a client that called me one Saturday afternoon and said, my husband just spilled a bucket of blue paint all over the carpet. What do I do? And so we went through the whole steps, blot it up, get up as much as you can on the towels, use some water, don't use anything else, don't use any of the over-counter things. A lot of the over-the-counter cleaners have a very high pH, which in fact can often set stains into the carpet and may have a chemical reaction to some of the things that we use. So we had her keep it damp. We got out there the very next morning. You wouldn't have ever been able to tell that blue paint was on her white carpet.
Unbelievable. That's great. Well, what do you think about, you mentioned just briefly rental equipment and do-it-yourself things that you can get from big box stores and things of that nature.
There's a place for those. Again, if you got the little in-between, your professional clean, sometimes you just got some high traffic areas. The challenge that most people have with the things that you can rent from the big boxes is that they don't have the same suction power, and so people use too much of the cleaning solution, which is going to leave a residue in the carpet because it doesn't have the suction to get it back out. So what I tell people, if you're going to rent from the big box, whether it's just for an in-between clean or you're just a do-it-yourselfer, we love the do-it-yourselfers. That's my favorite Stanley Steamer commercial is the do-it-yourselfer. But I tell people use half the cleaning solution it tells you, go through twice the rinses that it tells you to make sure that you're rinsing out the solution, and then use three or four times the dry solution with no water coming out. So it's five times the work for the same effort of just calling somebody to come do it professionally. But if you're a do-it-yourselfer, go for it, but just make sure that you're not leaving too much else in your carpet.
So are most of your clients professional then, or are they do-it-yourselfers, homeowners?
We have both commercial and residential clients, but we focus mainly on residential clients, both in single-family homes and apartment communities. We do a lot of work for rental properties, property management companies as well. But we work any kind of residential home with any kind of carpet. Typical commercial customer would be, say, like a retail store that has a lot of foot traffic, a doctor's office that's real concerned about keeping things clean. We do several dentist offices and daycare centers around where cleanliness is a big issue, and we get them on a monthly, if not quarterly, basis to come in and do regular cleanings. Typical home customer, we have some that will call us every 2 to 3 months, and typically, though, I'd say every 6 months to a year is a typical residential customer for us.
Well, with the carpet and getting wet, and then, of course, you know, the padding getting wet, do you guys do mold inspections as well?
We can do mold inspections. We do more of a specialty with mold remediations, which is fixing the mold once the mold is found. Typically, you do not want to have the same person inspecting for the mold that's doing the remediation. There's kind of you can, but that's, in my mind and in Eagle's mind, there's a little bit of an ethical standard of, yeah, oh, sure, there's mold, and we'll come clean it up, and then we'll test for it afterwards to show you that we did it. Whenever we do a mold remediation, we use an independent inspector that will come in and verify that what we cleaned up, I mean, visible mold, you don't usually need someone to come in and say, can you check to see if there's mold, because you can visibly see it. It's when you think you smell it, but you can't really see it, that you want to have somebody come in and actually do a mold inspection. There's people out there, there's companies that specifically do just mold remediation, mold inspections. Or most home inspectors, certified home inspectors for the state, can do a mold inspection. They will then call us to go in and do the remediation, and then we call them back to go and do the inspection afterwards to make sure that the mold is gone. Now, if somebody just wants us to come in and say, can you come check to see if there's mold? Certainly, we have the equipment to test it, because that's part of our process, is to verify what we're cleaning and as well. But it wouldn't be something we would do both.
Well, what steps should someone take if they find water damage to hopefully not lead to mold or other things?
Well, we have certainly seen a lot of that this day and age with all the rain that we've had here in Atlanta. We've had a lot of water damages that come in nightly, both from property management companies and just individual homeowners saying, help, my basement's underwater or flooded. I didn't realize that there was leaking, or quite frankly, sometimes it just can't handle all the rain that we've had. The first thing you should do is always assess, where's the water coming from? Do you have a roof leak? Is it a pipe that's busted in your house, or is there something coming in through the foundation of the basement? If there's something that's a plumbing type issue, we certainly want to deal with a certified plumber. Those require licenses by the state, and so we have plumbers that we recommend to handle plumbing issues, for example. If it's a roof leak, we want to fix the water source first. So we want to call in a plumber and get the plumbing fixed, or we need to call in a roofer to get the stop the rain. We will come in and if it's an insurance claim, you will call the company to come and suck out the water first. We want to stop the water source and then call us to get the water. And there's not an insurance company out there that will say, well, you needed to wait for the adjuster first before you had that water sucked up, because the quicker we get water out of the source, the less money it's going to cost everybody in the end. If you let water sit, mold can typically start to form within 48 hours. So most insurance companies will say, get the water up first. But the first thing you have to do is to find out, where's the water coming from? Because if you don't fix the source of the problem, it's just going to come back. And then you'll call us back again in 2 days when it rains again. So we want to evaluate where it's coming from, get it dried out as quickly as possible. Then if it's big enough for an insurance claim, then we call the insurance company, and we get the adjusters in, everybody sees what's going on, and then we do remediation of the water. We check for mold, make sure that it's not set in yet. And we want to have the reconstruction if necessary. Not always necessary. If you catch water quick enough, a lot of times you can just dry it out. But we have tools that we check to make sure that there's not water into the walls, because sometimes you can't see the water. It's gotten in behind the drywall, and it's soaked up into the drywall. So we've got tools that can test for water inside the walls. A lot of times people see water on one side of the wall but don't realize that it's already seeped through the wall into the next room. And they may not see it, but when you put the meters to it, it measures onto the other wall. So we do thorough testing to make sure that we've dried everything out appropriately. If something needs to come out, there's certain processes that sometimes we can kill the mold if it's caught quickly, but otherwise, there's sometimes you just have to take the surface out and reconstruct.
Interesting. Well, you have a lot going on with your business. Where do you see it really going in the next 5 years?
Eagle Carpet Care has been expanding tremendously over just the last 2 years that I have been with the company. The owner of the company, Tony LaRocco, has made that very hard transition for a lot of family-owned businesses and owner-operated businesses, where he is now letting the business operate for him. A lot of small businesses, they can't step away from doing the work. And he's now allowing the business to work for him as an owner-operator. He's got two sons in the business that are now taking over the two different operations. One handles the operations of the cleaning side. One handles the operations of the restoration side. And I've really seen it grown. We're adding another truck. We just purchased another restoration trailer. And we just hired a new employee yesterday, as a matter of fact. So I see growth within the company tremendously. And I see the two sons in the company, Joseph and Patrick, both taking the reins to develop both sides of that company to really build it one step at a time. There's a lot of growth going on. It's very exciting to see.
Great. Well, for folks that would like to get more information on Eagle Carpet Care, how should they reach out to you and get in touch?
Well, a couple of ways that you can reach us. One, of course, is on our website at eagle-carpetcare.com. Or our Facebook. You can find us at Facebook at Eagle Carpet Care, all run together. We're very active on that. Of course, you can always give us a call at 678-714-0445.
Great. Kate, thanks so much for being with us today.
Appreciate you having me on the show, Randy.
And we do appreciate you being here. Our next guest is David Ford, owner of Food Truck South. Thanks a lot for being on the program today, David.
Thank you for having me, Randy.
And could you tell us a little bit about Food Truck South and what you do?
Well, Food Truck South is a, I guess, a converter, if you will, for we build custom food trucks. We take people's dreams and their ideas, and we turn them into the dreams and become reality.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So you will just start with the shell of a truck.
Correct.
Whether it's new or used, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. We either buy them from the manufacturers. There are a couple manufacturers in the United States that make the new ones. And we also purchase trucks out of fleets, out of major companies that use the delivery trucks in their fleets. And then we build them out the way the customer wants them.
Well, I understand just from seeing on TV, you know, the food truck craze and everything that's going on there, a lot of the trucks are the delivery style. Do you do trailers, other things of that nature as well?
We can do it. We're so busy now doing the trucks themselves because there's some benefits to a truck over a trailer. So a lot of people that have had trailers are converting into trucks because they're easier to get around. They're easier to move when they get there than on having to have a tow vehicle. And it's just all self-contained.
I see. And is it okay for clients to bring you their truck that they've already started on?
We've had that happen a couple times, and it usually becomes a nightmare for the client and winds up being more costly. We prefer to start with what we know that's been well-maintained and well taken care of, and it's clean, it's ready to go, and we don't have to go through all back and going backwards on what has maybe been done incorrectly and keep it in spec and keep it compliant with the law.
Well, what about the equipment that goes inside?
Well, all the equipment's brand new. We buy American-made products from a company. Well, our cooking equipment primarily comes from American Range out of California, and refrigeration is True Manufacturing, which is one of the leading manufacturers of refrigeration in the restaurant business.
And if a customer is already leasing their truck, what might they – could they come to you for additional upgrades, or if they chose to – change the some of the options that they served on their truck? Can they do that?
We can do that, particularly if it was built to the proper specifications. We see a lot of trucks that have been built by either home-built or built by people that kind of gotten into it and didn't follow the procedures properly. So a lot of times we run across them that have been wired incorrectly. So when that happens, we either have to give them the option of us yanking all the wiring out and starting all over again or, of course, denying being able to convert it for them.
You mentioned earlier that many times they have to follow the correct laws and procedures. Do they have to follow pretty much the same regulations and rules that restaurants do?
Actually, most cases more than restaurants because there's some regulations regarding cooking certain types of food on board. They're not able to do that, such as raw eggs, raw fish. So they have to do that in their commissary and then add it to their end product when they get to where the location is.
Now, I didn't know that. So only certain things you can actually cook on board the truck.
That's correct.
And fish, eggs, you
can't. Anything that has kind of, it could be dangerous, I guess, if it's not cooked properly.
Okay. And really, from a price range, this is kind of one of the things I've really always wondered about. If I wanted to start that kind of business, what kind of price range would a truck like that run?
Realistically, I get a lot of requests for that question, and it varies but depending on what they're doing. But it can go anywhere from, say, the mid-70s up to, well, we just completed one. It was close to $200,000. So
Wow. Quite expensive.
So whatever you want to throw at it, it's obviously going to cost.
Right. And, of course, I would assume that even though you may take a new truck and you take it directly from a manufacturer, all the equipment, the service, the truck itself, the equipment that goes inside is all warrantied?
Correct, yes.
And how does that apply?
Well, the manufacturers have, in different markets, we've built trucks for basically all over the different parts of the Southeast and primarily the Southeast. And each manufacturer has a service independent service contractor in each market. So if a customer does have an issue with, say, refrigeration, we contact True. True, in turn, gets in touch with their service company in that area. Let's say it's Jackson, Mississippi. Then they go out and do the repairs on the truck, and they're back in business.
Outstanding. Now, are the food trucks themselves permitted for a city, for a location? for a county. How does that work?
The answer is yes to all those. It depends on where they are. Take Fulton, for example. You have a Fulton County inspection, and you have a City of Atlanta inspection as well. Some are just county.
Okay, let's say you wanted to have a food truck outside of Georgia Tech before one of the games.
Well, there's a company that has a contract on that whole basis, so it wouldn't happen outside of Georgia Tech. So.
Okay, well, probably a bad example there. Okay,
but let's just say, in fact, almost all the universities and all the places in higher education are controlled by one of three companies that do that. So they own pretty much the area and all the food services done on those. So if you're going into, say, a private location, say a company like here in this office building, then basically if it's private property, you still have to go through the county, but it's typically permitted and it's okay to do so.
And I've noticed a lot of different areas in Atlanta have started having food truck communities.
Correct. There's one permanent location downtown at Howell Mill and 75. That's a 724 facility. And then there's different places throughout the city. There's a large one in Dunwoody now that's just started up recently that's done with the city. That's become very successful. There's another one in Smyrna that's every Tuesday night that they've had as many as 2,500, 3,000 people show up in that three-hour period. It's unbelievable for that one. So and they're around in different places. 12th and Peachtree every Thursday.
I live in Alpharetta. I know on Thursday evenings.
Thursday evenings when in Alpharetta.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get as much time to go out to those events as I used to. So,
well, that's a good thing, I think.
It is. It means we're very busy, but it doesn't give me the opportunity to kind of go out and see what's going on either.
Well, how long in the process is it to actually build out a truck from scratch?
It takes us about 6 to 8 weeks.
And, of course, it depends on the food that they're preparing again.
Exactly, right? And equipment and what they want in it. We do a lot of custom stuff. I have a wonderful staff. I have a couple of very sharp engineers that are young, so their ideas are pretty fresh. And we're doing some things. In fact, we're in process now of designing and building a truck for a local entertainer that's going to have a swing out door on it that's going to put we're going to put two green eggs on it. And so instead of trying to cook it inside, they'll be able to swing it out and cook from the outside of the truck as they prepare other products inside the truck.
A lot of the trucks have very innovative paint schemes, too.
They're wraps.
Yeah. And do you design those?
I spent 30 years in that business before that's where I retired to start this business from. So, I have my hands all over that one. Before they go out, it's also when the customer comes in and they want us to do a truck, we lay out a design and go through the whole process. And when it's over, we hand them a set of keys and they have a finished truck. So we do the wrap. We work on the graphics with them. We sit down and interview them and discuss kind of where they want to go with their logo, what they're interested in doing. Then we create it, and it goes out the door finished.
And could you equate the process to something like building your own house, a custom house?
Yes, I've done that, and I'd say that this is a little bit easier. There's a lot more emotion sometimes involved because there's more people involved. Even you have partnerships that aren't married to each other, it gets to be a little tricky because one of the partners wants to do one thing and one wants to do another. But we seem to be able to work it out with them.
Well, that's great. How long have you been in business?
Food Truck South is a 3-year-old company. we started in 2011. Started laying out designs and putting things together, and we effectively went into operation in late 2011, and we've been nonstop ever since. So,
outstanding. And you're based in Marietta?
Based in Marietta.
And where do you see yourselves 5 years from now?
On the beach. we're expanding our product line, and we've designed some other things. When you ask about the trailers, we're actually coming out with a retro trailer that we've designed. It's going to be somewhat similar to the designs that you saw in the late 50s or mid to late 50s. The genre was called canned ham trailers, and as opposed to designing what basically everybody else is doing, but being doing boxes. We're doing something a little bit more style. And so we're producing those. And we have some other interesting things that we're coming on board with as well.
Well, that's terrific. Well, for people that are interested in potentially moving into that marketplace or other business leaders that might want to get in touch with you, how's the best way to do that?
Well, they can check us online, like, you know, foodtruckssouth.com, or they can give us a call at 404-913-4452, and we'll be happy to sit down and give a consultation and go over designs and lay out a floor plan for them.
Terrific. That's outstanding. All right, David, thank you for being with us today on the program. All right. Well, we want to thank all of our guests for being here with us today. And from that standpoint,
great job, Randy. You didn't need me to come in at all. I mean, you were on a roll there. Dennis might be shaking in his shoes right now because he may have lost his job.
Well, what can you say?
He did an outstanding job. But before we go, why don't you let us catch us up to speed of what's happening at Meridian Star this week?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because we were able to meet AJ, as a matter of fact, with the College Football Hall of Fame yesterday. That's moving into Atlanta, and they're going to be opening. The target date for opening is scheduled to be August 2014. And as we discussed before the show, it's going to be quite a state-of-the-art facility. It'll be located within easy walking distance of all the major venues downtown, including the Georgia Dome, the Omni Hotel, CNN Center, and, of course, Georgia Tech. It'll be close by Georgia Tech there. The College Football Hall of Fame will also be directly connected to the World Congress Center. You may not be aware of that. And we were able to talk to them and provide a presentation on our merchant processing, including credit card and debit card solutions, point of sale systems, retail and restaurant solutions, and implementations of both wired and wireless solutions. And of course, our fully PCI compliant solutions for online ordering of tickets, spiritware, souvenirs, and things of that nature. And we at Meridian Stars, I'm sure the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia, for that matter, are very excited about having the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta.
Well, of course, Atlanta being sort of the capital of the Southeast and this being the hotbed for college football, it only makes a great sense to have that here. I know it's going to be very welcome. It's going to do very well. And I know, AJ, for your job at Georgia Tech, anything that creates more excitement for college football, this is great news for you guys as well.
Oh, it's tremendous news. It's, you know, it's right down the street from us. It's really probably a five-minute walk when it comes down to it.
I mean, so you can go check out a Yellow Jacket game and go to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that whole downtown area where it's situated right there, it's really up and coming. You know, it's, you know, you got the World of Coke, you got the aquarium. You know, a lot of fans will, you know, especially for the later afternoon games, they'll work in an aquarium visit, a World of Coke visit, and then walk down Techwood to Grant Field. And I'm sure once the College Football Hall of Fame opens up next fall, really, you know, they'll do the same thing. You know, it's really added value being there.
August of 2014, just over a year from now, Randy. I can't wait.
I'm very excited. And finally, let's go ahead and thank our guests for being with us today. A.J. Smith with the Aspire Group here in Atlanta. Thanks, A.J.
Thank you, Randy, Mike.
Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration in Gainesville. Thanks for being with us, Kate.
Thanks, Randy.
And David, thanks a lot for telling us a little bit about the food trucks. We're all excited about that.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Remember, you can listen to our show live every Tuesday morning at 11:30 on this Business Radio X station. You can also listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7, by logging on to our website, partnersforsuccess.businessradiox.com. Partners for Success is presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services, your partner in processing, where we not only have the best rates in the industry, we're always there when you need us. Call us at 1-855-MER-STAR. And thanks, as always, to our producer, Mike Salmon, for making the show run seamlessly and handling the technical side of things so masterfully.
And a great job by you, Randy, without your partner in crime today, but it went smooth.
And thanks a lot. We really appreciate that. This is Randy Hicks, and we look forward to joining you next time right here on Partners for Success.